Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
We're going to cause trouble.
Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline.
We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings.
It's Farrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything. All right, what's happening, Farrell on the bench? This game is intense. 84-79. Dallas up 5. 3:10 and rolling left in the third. A good one down in Orlando. So they're calling fouls too here. So we'll see what happens in the fourth quarter in this game for sure. And then I got this hockey game going as well. Vancouver and St. Louis are underway. And the Canucks have the early 1-0 lead. 6:45 left in the first. They got a breakaway goal. So St. Louis on the power play, but I don't even know if that was a shorty. All I know is a hell of a move. I can't even believe the guy scored the goal because a broken stick led to the play. You break out. Defender goes back with no stick. And the guy was able to manage his way back around the guy with no stick. He couldn't stop the puck. So he jimmied it back, dragged it to the other side, and then snapped it past the goalie for the 1-0 Vancouver lead. I have to say that was very impressive. Very impressive goal. See if I can. It was a shorthanded goal. I know that. They still haven't put it up who had it. Like, this guy's such a no-name, they don't even put his name up that he scored the goal. Because I've been looking at it. I watched the goal, and I still can't tell who had the goal. And I usually know who has the goals. But we'll keep our eyes on it and see who ends up having it. St. Louis still on the power play. They give up a shorty, but it was a nice goal, one zip. And remember, they can, it's 2-2. Whoever wins this game goes up 3-2. So the Blues tied the series up. So anyway, the NBA game, we got our eyes on the last one of the night, 84-81, Mavs on the Clippers. We got another hour to go. We're going to have, he's having a bad day coming up. And believe me, we got the perfect candidate. They even know about him in the church.
Hey, everyone. It's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys. And I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is going to be your church, your turn up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, 844-843-6879. Everywhere, all over North America. Always good to be live in Lipstick City and obviously all of Southern California on San Diego's mighty 1090. I love the mighty and I love the mightier. I love San Diego. Just wanted to say that on a daily basis. I always say it's my favorite place. I go there a lot. I know I'm getting to know it very well. In fact, I'm there all the time. People just don't know it. Mafia knows it. I'm always skirting off to San Diego. Anyway, it's just great what they're doing out there with the station and everything that's going on. Very excited. Scott Kaplan and company. A badass. I'm stoked that we're there and it's really cool. And it is what it is. Jerry Hinnan's our good friend, college football insider. We talk soccer with him as well once in a while when we get him on. We do everything with Jerry. Jerry, do you live in? Do you live down in Alabama? Where do you live? Do you live near Auburn? Where Mafia thinks you live down there?
That's great. I live in Alabama. I actually live in Northport for my wife's job, which is actually a stone's throw across the Black Warrior River from Tuscaloosa and the University of Alabama campus. Despite being a lifelong Auburn guy, this is where my life has taken me. It's not the worst thing in the world being basically in enemy territory. It's not as bad as I think some people would imagine, but I will say that the occasional Roll Tide I get just from wearing an Auburn hat around town does get old after a while, Scott. Just a little.
So what do you think when they canceled the tailgates and they said they're going to let, 22,000 fans into that stadium for the Tide games? What do you think of that?
Yes, that's right. 20% capacity at Bryant-Denny. Auburn, I think it said they're under 20,000 fans. I think they're at like 16,000 or something. I think We're hanging by a thread, Scott. Anything that they can do to preserve the season at all at this stage is something I think they pretty much have to do. We've already lost. It's not like the Big Ten, okay, which has millions upon millions of dollars riding on this season, who has as many fans, fill their stadiums as they do in the South. The Big House is in the Big Ten. Beaver Stadium is in the Big Ten. They fill those stadiums up every bit as much as Bryant-Denny and Jordan-Hare, these stadiums in the South get filled.
Right.
For them to take the step and say, no, we can't do it in the fall, despite the, what some, I think, Big Ten parents who are angry and some Big Ten fans who are angry would tell you, they're not doing that just, on a whim. They're not just saying, I don't think we're going to have football this fall. If they felt like it was possible for them to have football this fall, that was a reasonable decision at all, then the Big Ten would be playing football this fall. That's not happening because that's the gravity of the situation we're in. Now, I fully support the SEC's decision, the ACC's decision to kind of put things off and say, we're going to wait before we cancel everything. We're going to see what happens when students get back on campus, if we can keep everybody safe while we're doing this. I support those decisions, but compared to what we could face, even though we're looking at a loss of millions of dollars in ticket sales and sponsorships, all this stuff with the loss of tailgating and the loss of fans in the stands. And it sucks. It sucks, especially for these communities. These are college towns. These game days are some of the biggest economic drivers for these communities that exist. They're huge. But all of that said, comparing it to losing the entire season, I'm not going to complain. It sucks, but I'm not going to complain about it.
Well, Jerry Hinnan with us, obviously, what's the situation? I mean, they are going to play football, I think, the SEC. I still believe they're actually going to do it. They're going to defy the odds, and they think they can pull it off, ACC and Big 12 as well. And I guess the AAC, they're still alive. But my question is, when you're down there in Tuscaloosa, what's the situation like on the campus now? Because I've heard stories of, you know, parties, and I've heard, you know, COVID cases. I've certainly heard more in Chapel Hill. I've heard more in South Bend. I've heard more in Stillwater. But what's the situation in Tuscaloosa right now? Are they having outbreaks? Do they got problems? Are people tripping?
Somewhere they're tripping. Their Auburn Twitter has been rocked, basically, the past couple of days. There have been images that have come out from the bars in the area, and the bars are packed. Like, they are up to the gills. They are shoulder to shoulder. I haven't necessarily seen those images as much coming out of Tuscaloosa. The big one, one of the Tide offensive linemen tweeted, was a big line to kind of get into the bars, was outside. Nobody wearing masks, really, a couple of kids. You know, these are college kids. We know what they're going to do. They've been at home, too, for like the last 6 months, and we're bringing them on campus, and then we're going to say, all right, guys, even though we know these bars are open, like, we haven't closed them, the bars are open, but we really just want you to be responsible 18 to 20-year-olds who have been trapped in your parents' basements for the last 6 months. Please just really do this for us. It's not going to happen.
They're animals.
There's not going to be any personal responsibility taken in these situations, Scott. You know, and it's just a case of, you know, how much interaction is there going to be between these bar scenes and the football teams. I do think the football players, especially now with what, you know, the Big Ten and the Pac-12 have canceled, we've seen them say it on Twitter, you know, guys at Texas A&M, you know, Alabama, Auburn to an extent as well. You know, these players have said, guys, please, we need you to take this seriously, wear your masks, this kind of stuff. So I'm sure that the football players, you know, maybe not every one of them, we're talking about a roster of like 100 kids, maybe not every one of them, but most of those guys are going to be doing the responsible thing. They're going to be at home, you know, they're going to be taking care of themselves. But, you know, we're having some classes. You know, this is another thing, you know, how much interaction is there going to be with some classes being in person, some classes being online? How separated can we keep the football team from the rest of these campus student bodies? Because if there's as much interaction as there would normally be, we're not going to have a football season.
So when I was at Indiana University in the Big Ten, let's go down reminiscent alley here. When I was at college, I drank literally 5 million beers a week. And I smoked gigantic bong rips for just constantly. It was just my behavior was porous, to say the least. I overnight DJ'd from midnight to six on a station in Bloomington. It wasn't a college station. It was a real station. And then I did sports updates the rest of the time, like 7 days a week. And I covered the Hoosiers and everything, right? And I drank 5 million beers a week, even when I did all of that. So I can tell you, there is not – you said something about responsible. Like, there's no – I never met a responsible college kid. I met people that partied and got naked. That's who I met. And I was in a Big Ten school, and I was doing all of that. I was chasing chicks, and I ended up having a girlfriend the whole time when I was at IU. And she was a sorority chick, whatever. I was in a fraternity, and it is what it is. I also have said on the air a million times, I was in charge of all drinking and narcotics at that place. And I also was a hazer. I was a horrible person. And I got good grades in broadcasting, and I never went to class in anything else. I never went to class. I went to games, and I went to bars, and I went to parties, and I went to chicks' bedrooms. That's where I went. So just so we're clear, I don't believe one kid in college anywhere is doing anything right now except drinking and smoking and trying to get naked. So just so we're clear. So I don't think they care for one second about the COVID. And I think the outbreaks are going to be rampant everywhere, and it's going to screw up everything, including.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Hi, Pharrell on the bench. We're talking to Jerry Hinn and our good friend down in Tuscaloosa. His next door neighbor is Deontay Wilder. And Jerry has been known to throw haymakers at him and insults in the driveway. And I'm friends with Deontay as well. I'm friends with Jerry. And Deontay would be like, Pharrell, what's with this fool? And then it would all start up right there in the yard. And Jerry would be like, who you calling fool? And then let me ask you, when you saw Auburn's schedule, did you pour three fingers? Did you get excited? Do you like it? Are you excited about any of the games?
Yeah, Tennessee was, you know, the addition, you know, when they added a couple of games that weren't originally on the schedule. That was one of the new East games, basically, was Tennessee, which is a very traditional Auburn rival. You know, they used to play on an annual basis, lost the rivalry when the SEC expanded in 92. So I was glad to see that. I was glad to see them get Kentucky in their season opener. There was lots of rumors that they were going to have to open the season with either Georgia or Alabama to try and make sure they got one of the big rivalry games in there. But they didn't. They gave Auburn Kentucky, and they moved Georgia to week two. So, you know, that's a lot better that way. To be honest, like the Iron Bowl, this is actually sort of the national headline from Auburn schedules that the Iron Bowl is now the next to last game in Auburn and Alabama's season. Auburn will actually finish the year with Texas A&M, which is going to be, you know, again, this is one of those things. It's awful. Like under any normal circumstances, I would spend like the next month randomly punching walls because Auburn wasn't playing Alabama in the last game of the season. Auburn is supposed to play Alabama in the last game of the season. The Iron Bowl is the last game of the regular season. That's, you know, it's like oxygen being part of the air. Like, this is just the way things are. But this season, it's not like that, and we're just going to have to live with it because, again, the alternative with everything weird that's going on, it's like, you know, complaining about scheduling changes when the sport may not exist, just feels like small potatoes. Like if they can give me anything this year, I am not going to complain about it. Like every game can finish 6-3 with like, you know, every point scored off of, you know, 50 yard field goals, whatever. Just don't cancel the season. Just give me some football, try to do it safely as best you can, please. And I'm going to be a happy camper.
Let me just say that I'm just going to say, is the Auburn game at Neyland in Knoxville, or is it in Auburn?
No, it's at Neyland, if I'm remembering correctly.
Okay, so let me just say, I'm going to be brief here. I think that the chicks at Tennessee are the hottest chicks. If I were to stack it up, like based on my tenure of time of doing this, let's say 35 years, over to 35 years, the student body at Neyland, 100,000 they got rocking there. Those chicks are the hottest chicks in the SEC. Now, I know there's Alabama girls. In fact, I know some of them. They're my friend's daughters, and they're pretty hot too, but they're not as hot as the Tennessee girls. And Auburn, I got to tell you, they're all alcoholics, so they can't be as hot as the girls from Knoxville, because they go to the game looking for a boyfriend and looking for a party. And then the difference is the Auburn girls and guys, they show up at the game with flasks, hammered, and Tennessee is real fraternity, sorority type thing going on too. So I'm going to go, the leg at Knoxville is the finest that I've seen. I just have to say that. Now, when you think of North Carolina and right. Notre Dame and the outbreaks that they have in Chapel Hill and South Bend and the problems that they have at Oklahoma State, they've quarantined sororities. I said this on Coast to Coast today, the TV show. I mean, if there's outbreaks all over the campus and they've gone remote learning and they've sent the kids in Chapel Hill home, how in God's name is Mac Brown selling? It's not affecting the football program at all that everybody else is going home and we're not going to have any students here. And in South Bend, they've stopped football practice. Don't tell me they don't have problems in South Bend. When they've shut down learning and they've shut down football, they have COVID in South Bend. They just don't want to admit it. They got COVID there as sure as I'm sitting here. And then Oklahoma State, they shut down entire sororities. Now, that would be, you know, I understand that probably not be very smart, Jerry, but, you know, this is an opportunity to meet some hot chicks. If they're all quarantined in the same sorority and they're sick or they're not sick, symptomatic or asymptomatic, I might be able to go in there and make some friends. I could, you know, show up at the sorority, maybe help out a little in the kitchen or something.
You know, wear one of those disguises or something, you know, a fake mustache or something. You can get in the door that way, I'm sure. So
those chicks love me, Jerry.
I'm sure they do. I do have to correct myself. I'm sorry. My deepest apologies. The Tennessee Auburn game is in Auburn, actually. So, not that that doesn't mean we didn't have an excuse to talk about how hot Tennessee women were, but the game is actually at Auburn. It was the South Carolina game in the cross division ones that Auburn's playing on the road. That game's in Columbia. So just I just have to make that correction, Scott. I don't want anybody
too.
To think I don't take my facts seriously. So.
All right. I've been there, too. That's a crazy place that. Which one's that one? That's in, obviously in Columbia. What's the name of that one? That stadium again, Williams-Brice.
Yes.
That's right. So I've been there to party.
They sell
too.
It out. Like even back when they were like, this was one of the reasons that everybody first said South Carolina absolutely belongs in the SEC after they invited them was they went 0-11. I think this was Lou Holtz's first year, maybe like right before he got hired. And they sold out the, you know, like 80,000 seat stadium for every single one of those games during the 0-11 season. And, you know, this was back in, you know, the early to mid 90s. And the rest of the SEC, which is a little bit skeptical about like, oh, well, why do we invite this independent program that's, you know, never really won anything, you know, never been an important program. Why have we invited them? Oh, it's because they sell out their 75,000, 80,000 seat stadium even in the middle of a winless season. These people are crazy. Of course they belong with us. Come on, guys, let's go. They've been, you know, fine members of the Southeastern Conference ever since.
Do you think Notre Dame will get their
– I'm sorry, what was that, Scott?
Do you think they'll get their season in, Notre Dame?
They're going to try as long as the rest of the ACC is trying. You know, I think at this point it's kind of an all or nothing thing. I know we think of Notre Dame as this independent program. They're just going to do whatever they want. But I think at this point their ties with the ACC – you know, we already know that they're an ACC program through and through in basketball and, you know, all the other Olympic sports. And in football this year, I think they're all knotted together. I think they're there with Clemson and North Carolina and NC State and the rest of them. I think whatever they do is pretty much the lead that Notre Dame is going to follow. You know, we are still a little bit away from worrying about cancellations. They're going to try. Like, this is what I keep coming back to. My prediction for weeks now has been that we're at least going to get the first two or three weeks of the season in. come hell or high water, the SEC, the ACC, and then probably the Big 12 are going to try and make a go of it. The question is whether we see these outbreaks from, you know, campus spread. You know, once it gets into these locker rooms and there's 100 kids in these locker rooms and they're traveling to the games, they're banging on each other for 3 hours, what happens after that? That's where I think things get really dicey. But I think Notre Dame, the rest of the ACC, I think they're all in. I think these are, in a lot of cases, programs that take it as seriously as the SEC does, as Texas does, as Oklahoma does. And they are going to try, you know, and make a go of it. Now, is that going to work? I don't know. I think Notre Dame, you know, it's a well-run university. I think they're going to do their damnedest to get this thing under control and try to have football, because everybody at Notre Dame clearly wants to play football this fall. It's not the, you know, the spirit is hella willing, Scott, in the sport of college football. We just got to see how weak these student bodies are.
So, real quick, I don't even know how much time I got left. 2 minutes? I got 2 minutes, respectfully. I think Bayern Munich's going to beat PSG. I think they're the best team in the world. In fact, I think Bayern Munich could beat Liverpool. And I also want your opinion. Did you see the U.S. men's national schedule for the qualifying for the World Cup?
I did. The exciting part about that is that they could go to Trinidad and Tobago to open up their World Cup qualifying campaign. So hopefully they will exercise that particular demon right out of the gate. Some people are kind of like, do we really have to start by doing this? And yes, we have to start by doing this. We have to go to Trinidad and Tobago, not lose that stupid game, and hopefully everything will be back to relatively normal for the USMNT after that. As for your Champions League prediction, I wish I could disagree. I think PSG are great. Kylian Mbappe is maybe the most exciting player in the world, not named Lionel Messi. Neymar, you know, I mean, he's kind of an ass, but he's a great soccer player. He's a lot of fun to watch. PSG don't really worry that much about defending. They're so much fun to watch. But Bayern are the better team. Like Thiago in their defensive midfield, the better defensive player than PSG have anywhere, I think. You know, Lewandowski, the way Alphonso Davies is playing at right back, one of the world's best players is Canadian, Scott. Like 2020 is so weird. Like I really think the Champions League final might come down to the Canadian right back who's playing for Bayern Munich and is an attacking weapon. PSG, you know, they've got great attackers, PSG, but they don't have somebody to come from the back and attack the way an Alphonso Davies can. And I agree with you. I think that's going to be the difference. I think Bayern, the way they just brushed aside Lyon, which is actually a very good team today, the way they crushed Chelsea and just humiliated Barcelona. They're the best team in the world. They're going to win that game.
Yeah, and I got to tell you, Mueller was calling him Lewandowski. I think he's the best player in the world. The way that guy scores, that header he had today was incredible. Jerry, great stuff. Always good catching up. We'll be in touch soon. It's Pharrell on a Bench. All right, Pharrell on the Bench. Shen and O'Reilly with goals. O'Reilly, the go-ahead goal. So the Blues have the lead now at the start of the second period, 2-1. Both goals in the first at 15:41, Shen from Sundqvist, and at 19:31, O'Reilly from Dunn and Blaze. I'm telling you, O'Reilly has been the star of this. I know Shen had an overtime winner. That was impressive, but O'Reilly in the last couple of games has been unreal for them. And then again tonight, he's doing it for St. Louis. I got to tell you, when I saw that they took the lead and I was looking at the faces of the Canuck players, I know that there's tons of hockey left in this game and maybe in the series because it's, you know, two apiece. This is game five. No one's going to win the series tonight. Someone's going to take, you know, a 3-2 lead and have an advantage because they got to win one of the last two, right? As if the Blazers and Grizzlies were playing in that play-in series, two games. The Blazers needed to win one game, and they won the first one. So what I saw when I looked in their eyes was they look nervous that the Blues are playing better than them now and that they're dealing with champions. I hate to say it because I, you know, there's no denying they got so hot last year and won that thing. They won the Stanley Cup and it was huge for the, you know, St. Louis and Blues fans and everybody else. I get it. It, you know, it's fantastic when you win the cup. It is just something we've never seen, the Blues getting it done. So it was huge for them, right? And I just don't think they've played like champions at all in Edmonton. But all of a sudden, in the last two games, they were down 2-0, right? And they won the last two games, and one of them in overtime. And now they look like, you know, they were down 1-0 in this game. And I don't even have to think about it. I know I'm right. What happened was they're down 1-0. They've lost, two games straight, and now they're up 1-0 against the Blues. And then they give up two goals to the two best players, Shen and O'Reilly. They got a look in their face like they just walked in on their wife cheating on them. I mean, they look like they are like, what is happening here? These guys are running through us. They've caught us. They've taken the lead. This is three games in a row. We've blown it. And they, oh my God, the save I just saw in the hockey game. It's the best save in a Stanley Cup playoff so far. The Blues just had an open net, wide open net, and the guy shot it from the middle of the slot, dead on goal. And all of a sudden the goalie came diving out of nowhere, like through the air, like Superman, and it hit his body and he made the save. I mean, that was absolutely surreal. I saw the greatest save just now in that hockey game. Honestly, it hurt my onions. The guy dove across the ice to make the save. It was unbelievable. Absolutely. It should be 3-1 Blues. Absolutely unbelievable save. Anyway, I mean, they're going to show that in the break 5 times. That was some save, I got to tell you. The only reason they haven't shown is because they're still playing. A chance for Vancouver. Shot on. Save. Oh, Magoo. This is end-to-end, Mafia. I'm losing weight over here. I need this one to go 4-1 in hockey. I'm going to go 6-2 in NBA bets for you today. Because I have the Mavs and the points. I got that 6.5. It was my top play. My number two play was the Jazz. They won outright and getting the 4. And then I hit the Raps both ways. Raps win, Nets plus 11.5. And I hit the Celts to win. I thought the Clippers would win. They're definitely not going to win that game. That game's almost over in the NBA. There's like, I mean, literally like a minute left or 3:27 left. It's a 10-point game. So I don't think they're going to catch him. They were down 15, though, so they cut 5 off of it. They need to get hot really quick. There's, you know, just basically 3 minutes left in the game. And the Clippers need stops and they need threes to catch him. But they can't stop Doncic. And they're getting that ball movement. And they're getting threes off. But they're missing. Curry just missed one. Wouldn't that be something, Mavi, if they actually pulled it off and came back on him? PG just missed a 3. Who are they going to call this out on? I think they're going to keep it Clippers. And meanwhile, they smashed into Hardaway. I think Hardaway was the one that got lit up. It is. Hardaway got lit up in the corner. And they're going to give the Clippers the ball. I don't know if they're going to go review it, but Morris leveled him. Here's the problem. They can't hit shots. You know, I'm sitting there. They're getting good looks to try to get back in this game. Down 10. They got no time for error, no room for error. And then George has 14. He's 2 of 9 from downtown. Kawhi's got 35. Morris has 14. George has 14. Lou Williams has 23. He's been the difference for the Clippers. Meanwhile, they got to get him the rock. Porzingis has 21, Doncic 26, Hardaway 14, and your boy Marjanovic, he has 13, Burke has 16, Curry has 15, so they got it all going tonight. Six guys in double figures. That's what it takes to beat the Clippers. Get six guys in double figures and you're going to get a win. PG had the cleanest look there from three, and he hits one. So now, I think that was earlier. That was replayitis because it's still a 10-point game. Maybe they were up three. I missed it looking at the stats. Who knows? But no, because it was 120 to 110 when I looked at it before. So that was a three from previously. And then they sit down Williams. Williams has all the buckets, and they got him sitting over on the bench. Now, why do you do that when George can't hit the broadside of a barn? Meanwhile, Williams has 23, and he's hitting everything. I'd let him in and sit George down. But he's so much of a prima donna star that they won't do it to him. Honestly, your boy, Lou Williams is 8 of 13, 23 points. Meanwhile, George is 4 of 16 and 2 of 9 from downtown. I wouldn't let him near the floor right now. I'd let Williams on the floor. Dallas can't possibly blow this game up 10 with 2.5 minutes to go, could they? They're at the line, Hardaway shooting free throws. Now they got a timeout going, so there you go. But I'm going to go 6-2 in the NBA, hopefully 4-1 in hockey. Who knows? Here's the deal. I want to look at the baseball because tonight I had some rogue bets. I was going rogue tonight. I don't know. How about that one, Mafia? No one thought that I was crazy until I said I'll take the Mariners over the Dodgers. But Seattle's winning the game right now.
Yeah, it definitely got people's attention when you brought that one out.
Seattle's up 5-3 in the sixth.
Look at
in
that.
In Seattle. What?
Look at that.
I mean, maybe they'll get it done, right? They still got innings to... They got to work on it.
Gravity team's got to get a win every now and then, right?
Right. I got the Astros. They're up 13-4 on the Rockies. Oh, wait. I took the Rockies. I'm looking at the wrong one. I'm looking at... So I have Thursday's games done here. I got to keep that out of the picture. Texas and the Padres are tied at twos in the ninth. I got the Padres going there. A's I have going. They're up 4-0 in the seventh over the Diamondbacks at the Astros in Oakland. Giants, I have San Francisco. They're up 5-1 on the Angels, top of the sixth, runner at second. I can't even believe Glasnow beat Cole at Yankee Stadium. The Rays won 4-2. I can't even believe that. Red Sox 6-3 over the Phillies. The Indians beat the Pirates 6-1. I went for it with the Bucks. That did not go well. But I hit the Jays 5-2 over the Orioles. I hit the Cardinals 9-3 over the Cubs in game one. And then I hit the Cubs. They won 4-2 in the nightcap. And so I hit both those games, both ends of the doubleheader. Royals, game one, beat the Reds 4-0. Reds beat them 5-0 in the nightcap. I hit the Mets over the Marlins. Boom. I hit the... Oh, Mize's first start for the Tigers. They lost 5-3. I hit the Brewers getting... fat money on the money line as dogs in Minnesota. They won 9-3, and the Braves-Nats was postponed, and now they're going to try to get that one in September 4th. I don't know why it was postponed. Maybe I don't think it was actually COVID. Maybe they got rained out or something. I just don't see anything. Alex Bregman left with an injury. How about the story about Tom Brenneman tonight? Are you hearing that, Mafia? Could you even believe it?
That game was postponed by rain. And you know what? People, you know, watch what you're saying all the time. If you got a headset or you got a mic near you, always watch your mouth. It doesn't matter whether you're on air or off air. There's always a chance someone's going to bite you in the ass if you say something wrong.
So he was on the air. I actually listened to it. Someone had it was automatically on social media. It took 5 seconds. The guy was doomed. They played the clip and he was dropping basically gay slurs on the air. not basically, he did drop a gay slur on the air. There was no basically involved. He said, so he used the slur moments after the Fox Sports Ohio broadcast returned from a commercial break, the top of the seventh inning of the first game of the doubleheader. Brenneman did not seem to realize he was on the air. He remained on the air in the second game until the top of the fifth, when he spoke directly to the camera before handing off the play-by-play duties to Jim Day. And he said, I made a comment earlier that I guess went out over the air, and I'm deeply ashamed of. You guess? It did not. There was no guessing involved. You did it. You did it. He dropped a bomb. He dropped a F-bomb, not even a swear word. He dropped a homophobic slur right on the air. He didn't know he was on the air, and he said it. He called it a hunk city. He was calling it, I guess, Kansas City, a not so friendly gay remark. And then it just was not good. He said, I'm deeply ashamed of it. If I've hurt anyone out there, I can tell you how much I say from the bottom of my heart. I'm very, very sorry. I pride myself and think of myself as a man of faith. I don't know if I'm going to be putting on this headset ever again. I don't know if it's going to be for the Reds. I don't know if it's going to be for my bosses at Fox. I will apologize to the people who signed my paycheck for the Reds, the Fox Sports Ohio, for the people I work with, for anybody that I've offended here tonight. And then a reliever tweeted about Brenneman's words shortly after the end of the second game. To the LGBTQ community, just know I am with you, and whoever is against you is against me. I'm sorry for what was said today. Anyway, they've been working out of Great American Ballpark in Cincinnati. Even though the doubleheader was in Kansas City, they were doing a remote broadcast, and he still said it. He was talking bad about their city, calling it names or something, and he wasn't even there. He was just dropping homophobic bombs on the air. Your boy Tom Brenneman in the Queen City having a really bad day. He's just having a bad day. That's the capital of the world. Dallas going to win this game. They're up 127-114, 30 seconds left. So there you go there. And then the Blues are in the Canucks' head now, 3-1. They were down 1-0, and they scored three straight goals. And O'Reilly and Shen, they're on their way to going up 3-2 in this one, because the Canucks look like they don't know what hit them. Morenci's up next with Sports Rage. Hey, Gabe, what did you think when you – I don't know if you heard me just play that clip of Tom Brenneman, if you could hear it down the line. And I don't know if you heard that I just played down the line, or if you've heard it on your own time. But what did you think of that?
Yeah, you know what? I think that he's called his last game. In this era, if this happened a couple of years ago, it would probably be a suspension. It's going to be hard to sweep this under the carpet in this new ultra – politically correct era. But listen, dude, you've been in the business for a long time. I've been in the business for a long time. We're all aware about hot mics. I've said things off the air, but I'm not racist, so I don't, or homophobic, so I don't have to worry about that. You might hear me coughing because I might have smoked a bowl. You might hear me swearing about a pet. You might hear me yelling at someone about like technical issues. You know, I'm not saying I don't drop F-bombs, but nothing homophobic or racial, Scotty. And you know what? It must be in them, bro, because it's not just the type of word you use once right out of the blue when you're sitting in a booth, right?
Right. No doubt. Canucks just scored, though, 3-2, so they're back in it. 20 seconds. But I got to tell you, the Blues have been playing fantastic the last three games. To come back in this game and their big guns are scoring. Morenci, have a great show, brother. I'll see you tomorrow. And I'll see you freaks tomorrow on Coast to Coast. Good job, Mafia. I'm Pharrell Sansone. Check out PharrellOnTheBench.com for all my action. And have a good night. Peace.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.